Let us ask God's blessing on ourselves and our service. Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us speak to each one of us now by your Spirit. Amen. Well, those words in that lovely chorus sum up part of this psalm that we're looking at tonight. Indeed, the very words, "Be still and know that I am God," are taken from the psalm. And tonight I want to speak about this psalm, and I've given it the title, and perhaps we can have the psalm itself up on screen, if that's possible, and you'll be able to follow if you don't have a Bible in front of you. I've given a title to this psalm tonight, "A Safe Place." A safe place. Today there is much talk and emphasis on a safe place. A child who is abused or neglected is very often taken to a safe place where that child can feel secure and looked after. An elderly person who can no longer look after himself or herself is often taken to a safe place, a home where there can be care and security and warmth and so forth. And indeed, those of us in between those two ages, if you like, often know what it is to desire and to long for a safe place, a place where we can feel secure and at home and comfortable, a safe place. And particularly when there are times of danger. Now, in this psalm, and remember that it's a psalm, like psalms around it, of rejoicing and joyfulness. It's a psalm sung by the sons of Korah, says our introduction in the Bible, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, a song. And so we can visualize these believers going up to into the tabernacle or the temple later and singing these words, rejoicing. And so I do hope that something of that will come over to us tonight, that this is something we can be happy about, joyful about, the content, the meaning of this psalm. So let's look at the first part. And there are three headings. In this psalm, we have protection. In this psalm, we have salvation. And in this psalm, we have an invitation. But the first part is about protection. The first two, or indeed three verses, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." If you're going to learn a verse from the psalm, I suggest this would be a good one to learn, that it's on the tip of your tongue and in the front of your mind throughout your life. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Now, there are places and there are situations in the world where human help cannot keep us safe. I was looking at a program about the city of Chester, a documentary recently, and researcher and the presenter were saying, look at these walls, look at the width of these walls, look at the size of these stones in the base of Chester. Chester being the largest Roman citadel, Roman fortress at the time. Just look at the stones that they used to build this place, how secure this place would be. And I thought to myself, secure? Now we look at them as ruins. In modern warfare, they wouldn't stand a chance. Secure. Men look for security. People look for a place to take refuge in. There was a place, there are places in the island of Sardinia in the Mediterranean called Nuragai, where villagers would build these huge stone castles like a mound, and people would live in those. And then if the enemy came, one of the stones would be moved into place to block the only entrance in, so that the approaching enemy wouldn't be able to find a way in, wouldn't know where the people were, if there was anybody there. And if they did get in, if they did happen to find the stone that unlocked the place, one person could hold the fort, as it were. You could only go in one at a time. But today, that means nothing. It stands for nothing. Safe, I'm sure those places were conquered and overrun. But there is a place that has enduring safety, that has a timeless safety. And that place is in God himself. And I want to ask the question tonight, are you safe in God? Are you trusting in the Lord so that you can be secure in all circumstances? As Tim prayed for Margaret earlier, that she, even in hospital, she can feel secure in the Lord. There is an example, and I had the joy of reading these verses to Margaret earlier in the week. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. But think of this verse, because refuge speaks of a place to go, a place to retreat to, if you like, a place to hide, a place where you will feel secure. But God is also our strength to face the enemy, to face difficulties, to have the courage to be strong in the Lord, as opposed to retreating, if you like, to this place of safety. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. What is the occasion of this joyful song? Well, people have tried to analyze, tried to look at some of the situations in Israel, and some think that it was possibly 2 Kings 18, where Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came towards Judah. He had already defeated Israel, the northern kingdoms, and had enslaved them. He was attacking Judah, and King Hezekiah, the godly king, you'll remember him, one who came and brought before the Lord the letter, the demands, the threats of Sennacherib, and was promised that God would intervene. And indeed, when they went out fearfully to fight against those tribes, that nation, they found that they were all dead. The history books, Herodotus records, the army camp was full of rats. Isaiah speaks of the Assyrian army being totally wiped out. Some think it was a virulent plague because of the rats, but the Lord was in it and preserved and saved his people against overpowering, amazing odds. God is our refuge and strength, sang the choristers in Jerusalem, an ever-present help in trouble. But secondly, before I move on to the second point, how is it that trust in God puts us in a safe place? Perhaps tonight you're feeling isolated and rejected and lonely and fearful or persecuted. You're frightened. You're concerned about something that appears like a big cloud on your horizon. Speak to God of your concerns. Come to him and say, Lord, I claim this verse that you will be an ever-present help in trouble. The Father loves us. He sent his Son to be our Saviour. We can trust him. How shall he not also, says Paul in Romans, freely give us all things, he who gave us his only Son? So in the worst of circumstances, we need not fear. And verse 2 says this, it's an act of will. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way. Here are these terrible disasters, these natural, cataclysmic events. Though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the sea, they don't do that, do they? Well, go to Hawaii and see the volcanoes and the earth sliding into the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, even if there's a tsunami and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. We will not fear, even in those worst of situations. And that is what we must say. Whatever befalls, whatever comes my way, I am safe in God. And then there's a description of this safe place. And I'll call this part, if the last part was protection, here is salvation. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Or in the words of the hymn we've just sung, see the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear or want remove. See them. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In this hot weather, we think of a stream as being lovely, refreshing, beautiful to look at, beautiful to be by its side. I can remember going to my grandmother's small holding, and my big attraction was to go to the river near, next to it, or running through the land, and to see the life-giving stream, the fish in the stream, and so on. A stream is lovely and beautiful. And tonight, I want to speak to you of a river whose streams make glad the city of God. What am I talking about? Well, it's the river of salvation, and it's flowing here tonight. As the gospel is preached, the river of salvation is coming from the throne of God to you and me. In the words of the book of Revelation, which you would have heard if you were here this morning, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And listen, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You can be healed tonight by this river. The nations can be healed by this river. When the Arab Moors came to southern Spain and built a palace, the Alhambra in Granada, they wanted streams and fountains and waters and gardens, the most beautiful place that tourists flock to see. Water, rivers. But here is the greatest river of all. There is a stream, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's life-giving. The Lord Jesus spoke of it when he told the woman of Samaria that if you take of this water, that's the water in the well, you will thirst again. But if you take of the water I give you, you will never thirst again. If we go back to the book of Genesis, we read about the lovely Garden of Eden, but there we read a river flowed from Eden, four tributaries, Pishon, Gihon, the Tigris, and Euphrates, and that tells me that it's a real place on this earth, that river, that garden, and it had streams. And tonight we are speaking of the streams, the river of salvation. They make glad the city of God. God is within her, she will not fall. And of course, if you're in a city and someone comes to lay siege to the city and threaten you and try to starve you to surrender, what you want most of all, it's a well, it's a stream, it's a fountain inside. You're going to outlast that siege if there's river, if there's water flowing. And this is the message of the psalmist. God is our help, God is our strength, God is our refuge, and there is a stream which makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar and kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. How helpless are we, but God is in control. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He can save us. He can give us that safe place. He can refresh us. He can speak to us of salvation. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Have you found that fortress? Have you gone to that place where you can be safe? Have you looked to Jesus Christ and trusted in him and know that you are not only safe but saved for eternity? Safe forever. And then there's an invitation in this psalm. Verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. And there's not only are these singers telling us of the great victories of God, but there's a future tense here as well. There's a future glimpse. He makes war cease that hasn't happened yet. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. And there is coming a time when that will be known throughout the world. But we can know it now. We can be still and know that God is in charge of our lives. One translator translates this verse in a modern way and says, relax and trust God to do it. Relax, put your hope, put your faith in God. Think of salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the world, coming to the earth to save us who cannot save ourselves. We can struggle, we can try, we can by our efforts think we can please God. And this message says, relax, be still. Know that I am God, God has done it. Look to Calvary, see there that Jesus has died for you. He's done it all. There's nothing for you to do to earn your salvation. It's been done. And all you need to do is to be still and look at the Lord Jesus, to relax and know that God has saved you. I will be exalted among the nations. Here is the future. They will hammer, says Isaiah, their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Never again will they learn war. The Bible consistently speaks of that day coming when this wonderful thing will happen, that all the world will know that God is God. Micah 4, I've quoted Isaiah, Micah chapter 4, verse 3, and each of them will sit under his vine or under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid. Are you afraid tonight? Are you fearful? Well, you can relax and know that God is God. And this invitation says two things. It says, come, come and see what the Lord has done. It echoes the Lord Jesus, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Have you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Have you put your trust in him? Have you relaxed? Will we be still and know that he is God? Stop our worrying, our frantic activity and bow down to God, being quiet and waiting for him to rest and expect God to work it out. How can a sinner save himself? He can't. But here is the invitation. Can I misquote Obama's catchphrase? Yes, we can, he said. The Christian says, no, I can't, but he can. But God can. The Bible says we can't, but God can. God Almighty is with us, says the psalm. And just imagine again the rejoicing, the singing of this psalm, the proclamation of the gospel in the Old Testament, the proclamation of God's kingship in their worship, the rejoicing they had that they were safe, that God was a true refuge and strength. My dear friend, if you've not yet been saved, be saved tonight. Be saved today. And be safe. The nations with all their different cultures, languages, all their different gods will see one day there is only one God. He is holy. He is to be praised. He is worthy of praise because of his love. He is worthy of praise because he is a refuge and strength. He is worthy of praise because he says to the world, be still and know that I am God. The Apostle Paul says this, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, we are being saved. It is the power of God. Are you safe? Be saved tonight.